I want you to pay attention to the commitment that is requested, the commitment of Christians to pray that God sets our soul on fire. I'm going to heaven. Those who've accepted Christ, you're going to heaven. But folks, we need to have a little bit of spark inside of us when we're talking about going to heaven. And when we're talking about the power that Almighty God has for His chosen, those who said yes to Jesus, His Son, and that power that God gives is called that fire that each one of the prophets would feel when the Holy Spirit would come upon them. Now, you and I as Christians need to understand, well, the same thing as the world needs to understand. We are living a never-ending story. I've preached on stories before because I know that each individual has a story. A lot of the stories we don't want to tell. But God gives us the stories of our life. You see, God has a story for us. He says that He knew us before time began. Now, that's a story, people. And God says, I loved you. I knew when you would be born. I knew what generation. I knew when I would bring you back to be with me. I knew. You have an ever-ending story. But the key to that never-ending story that I'm talking about is, where are you going to live out that story? Now, I'm walking here on earth. I have a story. You have a story. God's writing of your story so often is different from our interpretation of that story. Meaning, even to the point that we say, yeah, I know this is what God's called me to do, but I think I will just bend the story a little bit and I'll be more comfortable doing this. God did not tell me to live in comfort. God told me to live in Jesus. God tells each one of us that story inside of you is going to deal with hurt, with pain, with tragedy, with sorrow. But then He says, you haven't seen anything yet. I'm going to take all of that negative part of those stories and I'm going to glorify the name of my Son through your life. You think it hurts now for a little bit? Well, what you're going through right now, the Lord says, is nothing compared to the blessings I'm about ready to pour out on you. And you don't have to wait very long for God to do it. I mean, we're just like that flower or the grass that grows and withers out. In the twinkling of an eye, we went from being a baby, newborn baby, to old people with wrinkles. You know what we go back to being? Born again in Christ with a glorified body. Did you ever hear anybody or any scripture that said that Jesus was all wrinkled from His body growing? Jesus' body had all sorts of scars. Did you know that His glorified body still revealed the scars, the holes in His hands? Did you know that that glorified body was that whatever trowel, whatever part of the whip and all that dug into the flesh of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will have a blessing on it? Look at it and see where your name is, for I guarantee you that every hurt and every pain that you will see through His glorified body will be one of yours. And then He says, okay, you don't have to go through what I'm going to go through. For one thing, I want you to know, Whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall never die. You need to know that. You need to understand that I'm promising you, because of what I gave for you, that you will never ever have to see death. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord. So why don't more call on the name of the Lord? Because we have found ourselves in the ditch of life, and we sort of like playing around there in the ditch. We like the smell of those old beer joints. We like the smell of evil. Well, we must. Why would we continue to focus on it? Why would that continue to be a part of our life? I'm talking about the ways of the world. If the ways of the world are repulsive to God, should they not be repulsive to God's children? And yet, I'll tell you this upon the authority of God's word. The desire in your heart not to sin anymore is strong, and you're going to wake up and you're going to realize you sinned. That's what Brother Randy was talking about. And God looks to the desire within your heart. Again, let me continue to remind us. You look at yourself as a failure because of all the junk in your life and because you don't seem to be able to get it right. And we ask the question, why would God love me? Look at my story. Look at my story. God gave us a story for us to look at our life. But listen, folks, I am alive forevermore because of Jesus' story, not mine. God sees me already completed. I see myself as a mess. God sees me for what I'm going to be. He visions that in me. I cannot imagine the greatness that is offered. God says, I called you, I touched you, I sent my son to take care of all the garbage in your life. And now what I ask you to do and invite you to do, he says, accept my son. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. For God so loved the world. God didn't hate the world. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever surely meaneth me, whosoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Now, I'm living Jesus' story, trapped in my story. Which one you think's going to survive? I will be in heaven with you and all those who have gone on because of the greatest story ever told. Almighty God looked down to his creation. He created each of us never to die. Adam and Eve were not created to ever die. And it wasn't until sin was found and God's love for us in the futures, God's love for us was so great that he knew the only way that you and I could live forever with him, once sin had taken hold of the human race, for him to come down. Glory came down. Glory came down. That was the heaven. It was the heaven, and the glory filled my soul. Woo, that's a song, Brother Randy. Somebody ought to write that, huh? Think of it. God reaches in, and he protects us. I don't know what's going to happen next. Every year in January, I tell you, folks, appreciate the ones you have with you, because next year will be different. We do not know. So love while you have someone to love. Care while you can care. Give while you can give. Give of your heart. Give of your time. The greatest gift God has given you in His salvation is a gift of time. It's important. It's important to the family. It's important to love. You see, the gift of love, if never shared, we never appreciate it. God so loved us. And God said, in this never-ending story, I'm going to give you the option. You choose. And while I'm speaking on that, let me tell you something. It bothers me when I keep hearing all the stuff within the country dealing with women and their role in church. Folks, you better back off. God does the calling. And read God's word from His Son, as He revealed to us, and in those days, in the end of the age day period, which we're living in, when Jesus came, He ushered it in. Old men will see visions. Young men will dream dreams. Your daughters will prophesy. Oh, they can't do it in the Baptist church. Then change the name. Listen to me. God calls whom God pleases to call. God touches the heart. It is His message. It is His Son. And it is His gift that He has given us. Therefore, when He touches the heart, back off. Or you will find yourself fighting God Himself, and you're going to lose. But God said, follow the journey. Look at what I'm giving you. I'm giving you that life story. And I want you to know something. That this story that I've given you, I'm going to polish it for you. And when you're ready to come on and be with me, that story is going to be shined up. You are going to be shiny as I present you to my Father in heaven. For it will be the blood of the Lamb that will wash away the sin, that will wash away the dirt. It is the blood of the Lamb that guarantees each of us we will never, ever see death. Hell does not have a chance with the blood of Christ. Thus saith the Lord thy God. But where do you want to live out your story? If our story is never ending, as God tells us, our story then is going to be lived out in one of two places. Heaven or a place called hell. I wonder why Jesus talked 10 times more about hell than He did heaven. It was to tell everybody they didn't have to go there. It was to warn people of the horrors. People said, well, preacher, you ought to preach in a way that will scare hell out of them. It doesn't work that way. If I thought it worked that way, that's what I'd do. Hell is a real place. It's not a name that you better play with. And it should never come from the lips of a Christian that would say, I wish that person would go to hell. Never! That's how real hell is. That's how horrible hell is. I don't want anybody to go there. Jesus did not even want Satan to go there. God in His creation, He created us out of pure love. And He said, I'm giving it to you. I'm giving you salvation. I'm giving you my Son. I'm giving you my blood. I'm giving you a transfusion that will last throughout eternity. And yet, when God offers, man continues to turn their back. Nations, every nation that ever turned their back on God has fallen. America is no exception. Well, we don't want God's name on this. We don't want Jesus' name there. When you pray, just don't pray in the name of Jesus. Just, you know, use a generic God. I don't serve a generic God. I serve a God that sent Jesus, his only begotten Son, Pastor Abedini. And did I pronounce that name right, I believe? The hostage wonder why I would ever forget Iran. There's some good people there. They're just not in charge. But he's been released. About 3 years, I think it was. There were four released. He was the only one charged with being a Christian. They held him for being a Christian. A hostage for being a Christian. He's released now. And he'll be able to reunite with his family. But folks, those days that he lived in that horror will be a part of his story. He could have renounced Christ and been set free, but he didn't. He went through the tortures and came out loving Jesus. You know the power that's in that? I do not care the prison man locks you up in. When you are convicted of being a Christian and thrown into jail, that's shouting time. There's even enough, as he looks within our heart, would there be enough evidence to convict us of being a Christian? Oh, you don't have to worry, preacher. Nobody out there that I work with knows I'm a Christian. So the way I talk, the way I act really doesn't matter because they don't know I'm a Christian. Think of it. God says, oh, I love you. Now here's the key, folks. He says, I love you like you are because you are part of my story now. When we said yes to Jesus, that never-ending story of Jesus Christ tells us the story of where we will spend eternity. We will never see death. The wrath of God will never be upon us. We will pass from death unto life. Meaning there's not a split second that you'll see death. God says, I love you. How do I know this about those places? Because I know the one, his name is Jesus, who holds the keys. He's the one that tells the story. You got it? Listen to Revelation 1:18. I am the living one. I was dead. Okay, hear me out. Do you remember that Jesus, when he died on that cross, when he cried out, my God, Daddy, Daddy, why have you forsaken me? I know why, Jesus, for me. You see, Jesus felt the full power and magnitude of the human existence. And even to the point, he felt something, Christian, you will never, ever feel. He felt the separation from God the Father. I'll never feel that. Jesus took it for me, for you. I love you, Larry. I love you, Christian. So much I did not want you to feel the ultimate part of hell, separation from my Father. Now I'm going to show you something, Larry. When you say yes to me, I'm going to send within you my seal, the Holy Spirit. Therefore, you are sealed for eternity. You're part of my family. And then he tells the Lord, his Father God, Father, as you and I are one, I now want these to be. Now, listen to that. You and I are loved by God as much as God loved his son Jesus. Jesus said it. God upheld it. And we're family. The true family is the family of God, not biological. Oh, Jesus straightened that out in his ministry. When his own flesh and blood, the scripture says they thought he was out of his mind and they were going to go stop him from all of this foolish preaching. And they said, Master, your mother and your brothers are out here to get you. And he looked at them and said, who is my mother and who is my brother? Those of you who worship me, you are my mother. You are my brother. That's the point when the biological changed to total spiritual. We're the children of a king. The one who came as a servant, he's coming back. But he's coming back as a reigning king. Where you want to serve him? If you won't serve the Lord on earth, you will not serve him in heaven. If you will not accept Jesus as Lord and Savior of your life, here you don't have another chance. That's why the Lord told us that he's the key. Listen, Revelation 1:18 again. I am the living one. I was dead, and behold, I am alive forever and ever, and I hold the keys of death and Hades. The Lord said, I got the keys, and nobody's going there unless I unlock to let them. And there's only one group that I will unlock that door to let them in. And that's the one who have rejected such love from God the Father through God his Son. And God says, those who will come to me, you'll never be separated from me. You see, each one of us as Christians, we have that part of Christ in us. Why do you think you get to have those memories? God gives us the memories of the loved ones going on. Oh, but I love to see them. You will. Wait a little bit. You will, Christian. Won't be long. Twinkling of an eye. But we need to get excited. Asking God to set our soul afire. The prophets would have the Holy Spirit descend upon them for special missions. And I mean, when those prophets accepted that power, nobody messed with them because God went before them. But then the Spirit of God would recess again back to God the Father, waiting for another time. To when he would give the prophets that Holy Spirit power. And Isaiah lets us know, Elijah lets us know, that one day the new covenant's going to be here, and God's power, his Holy Spirit, will be poured out in that new covenant. And as his Spirit is poured out, his Spirit will seal that individual and never, ever leave us. No, you can't kick Jesus' Spirit out of your heart. I don't care how many times I've witnessed we Christians falling into the traps of Satan. He's already a defeated foe. God already whooped him. God already kicked him out. And Satan's angry. So Satan realizes, hey, I don't have a shot of getting Larry's new nature. I cannot touch him. Listen, all you family demons, I want you to go at him. Now, don't you mess around with his new nature. That's the power of Jesus. He already whipped us too many times. But I want you to focus on the part of his old nature that's still there. As long as you're in this human existence, that old nature is there, and Satan tempts you through the old nature. He don't want to get whipped again. So, how can I stop him? You can't. He's already been stopped. Did not the Lord tell us to call on his name? Did he not warn us when you see the sin coming at you? Turn, run. He didn't tell me like I've heard people say, I'm going to stand toe to toe with the devil. Well, you're going to get your toes knocked on the floor because you can't win. You're getting too cocky. Why do you want to get in a battle that's already won? Why don't you just sit in your lounge chair like we men do, pitching that belly back and forth with our remote controls? Why don't you just sit there and when sin comes knocking, say, Jesus, would you get that? We're not doing anything else. We might as well send Jesus to do it. What's God telling us? He did not tell me because I know my security is there. I know my salvation is a part of my everlasting story. He didn't tell me, now that you're saved, I want you to sit back, eat, drink, and be merry. He said, now that you realize in your own heart the truth of the salvation message, go tell it on the mountain, over the hills, and everywhere. Go! Shout to the rooftops. I'll give you the voice, old man. You just preach it. That's God. That's the one who gave us that everlasting story with him. His son said so. Jesus never prayed a prayer that God didn't answer. And Jesus prayed for me and you. And what do? We get so caught up in the world, we forget. We're not going to be that young much longer. Then what? Oh, I'll tell you what'll remember you. What'll bring it back to your memory. You'll have kids. And you'll fear for them. Because you know your mistakes. The kids, when your parents say don't do that, I guarantee you. They're telling you because they know the ramifications of doing it. Don't do it. I don't want to see you hurt like I have been. The two different stories told about two different men by one person, Jesus. He tells a story about this rich man. And this rich man had it all. And I mean, he rested in all of his wealth and his human glory. And there was at the gate and at the table of the rich man a beggar. And that beggar was just exactly that, a beggar. His name was Lazarus, not the one Jesus raised from the dead. But listen to this. And Lazarus begged, if I can just get the crumbs to eat from his table. And yet the rich man would not give him the leftovers, even the crumbs. And do you know that the sores on his body were so great? The hurt in his heart was so powerful that God sent the dogs to lick his wounds. And then he says, but they died. Luke 16, verses 22 through 24. The time came when the beggar died, and the angels carried him to Abraham's side. Abraham, the beginning of the Hebrew nation. Abraham, sitting in heaven with God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And the beggar was taken by the angels as they carried him to Abraham's side. Now listen to the part about, you talk about two different types of stories. The rich man also died and was buried. I didn't hear of any angels coming to carry him anywhere, did you? In hell, where he was in torment, he looked up, saw Abraham far away with Lazarus by his side. The very one he refused to give a crumb of leftovers to. No help coming from him for Lazarus. But what did he cry out? Father Abraham, I have five brothers at home. They don't believe. But if you will send Lazarus just a tip, take a drop of water and tip on my tongue. Okay, Father Abraham, send him back from the dead to warn my brothers. Warn them about what? The rich man knew the what. Hell is real. Heaven is real. He saw both. Yet he felt nothing but the heat and the pain of hell. Separation from God. Able to look into heaven. And Abraham said, between us and you, there's a great gulf fixed. For those who are there cannot come here, neither can any here go there. And then he got his attention again, Abraham did. Even though I send one back from the dead, they will not listen to him. You have the prophets. You have the word. If you won't believe the prophets and the word, you won't believe the one rose from the dead. What happened? Jesus rose from the dead and they still didn't believe him. Still don't believe him. Well, whether you believe him or not does not have any power or authority over what God says, where Jesus is, and where we're going. Just because you don't believe in God or you don't believe in the power of Jesus Christ, his Son, does not mean it's not real. It's just not real to you. I had much rather, while I'm given the opportunity right here, right on earth, right now, to stand and allow the fire of the Holy Spirit to wake me up now, lest so many will sleep, never to wake to true living again. And they will open their eyes being in hell. And that's it. It's over. If hell was just for 1,000 years, I wouldn't even bother about preaching on it. If hell was just for a few billion years, why would I bother? That time will fly by. Heaven is eternal with Christ. Hell is eternal without him. That's God's word. It's not because he doesn't love us, it's because he does. We're still here. Why? Because he doesn't want anyone to be lost, but that all would be saved. And he continues to give us chance after chance after chance. But Christian, if you don't tell your story of what Christ had done for you out in the world, how do you expect them to want to come to God's house and worship with you? If our actions are no different from the actions of the world, why would they get excited about the newness we speak of? God says, I've come because I love you. I've sent my son because I love you. You'll never ever see death. You'll never ever see my wrath against you. You'll never see it because I love you. And my son paid the ultimate, something that you will never feel, Larry, is ever being separated from me. But Christians, if our soul is not on fire, how is the world to be able to recognize the difference? Should I not, with a gift, share the giver? Should you and I not, with such awesome power given by God, display it in love? Don't worry about what man will say. Don't even give it a second thought. Because you could do everything they wanted you to do and they'd still say you were evil. Am I not a pleaser of God more than to please man? We've got to look at our heart. Where do we stand? I remember years ago, I would sit under different preaching. I could feel the Spirit of the Lord in the Catholic Church, in the Baptist Church, Presbyterian. There might have been a few there I had a little a problem feeling, but in those I got up and got out real quick. But I can tell you, at any message that you know is from God, there's a message there for you. And I guarantee you, every message from the mouth of a preacher sent from God, those messages, every one of them, are for that preacher. Make your decision. Who will you choose? Oh, I choose Jesus. Then act like it. Stand up and speak out. I've learned something over this many. I've learned a whole lot of things over these years. And I know this, that if I do not speak against certain things, that means I must be for it. That's how people look at you. But you know, if I say abortion is sin, if I say homosexuality is sin, if I said this is sin and that's sin, you know, my friends are going to have their feelings hurt. I don't care about your friends' feelings. I care about their everlasting soul. You should too. Love them through the whole mess. You better love them through the whole mess. But don't ever encourage it, no matter what. Let's pray. Father, we praise your name, dear Lord God, for your message, for your love, for your truth. Remind us, Father, on a daily basis of such love you've given to us. Touch each of us now, Father, that we'll be about your business. That we, Heavenly Father, will be walking in the direction you call us to walk and to speak out when you tell us to speak. We ask now, Father, that you touch each of us with that burning desire to serve you. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.